All right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right. Happy Thursday, everybody. This is a short week for some of you who are listening in our listening audience tonight. My name is Aline Reed, and I am the current chair of the West Fresno Democratic Club. And what we like to do on Thursdays, I like to call it Happy Thursdays, is we talk politics, both local and national and international, for those of you who are political mavens who like to listen to the talking heads on MSNBC, CNN, and for those of you who are brave enough, Fox News. Okay, tonight we're going to be doing an open mic, so you can call in and talk about anything that you like that has to do with politics, local, national, international. The call-in number is 563-999-3490. Once again, that's 563-999-3490. And what I'm going to start off talking about tonight, since it's open mic night, is something that has been in the news quite a bit here in Fresno, and that is what I'd like to say is what I find to be racist behavior going on in Fresno Unified School District. Hey, we have got a caller already. I'm going to click this caller in. This is 6633, you are on the air, West Fresno Democratic Club's open mic night. Would you like to share, or did you just want to listen? You're on the air. Did you just want to listen, or did you want to talk? Okay, I guess I just want to.
This is me.
Hey, Sister Maria. Yes, 66.
Hey, I just was getting my Reverend Harris tagged in. Yes.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I was just saying to the listening audience that I wanted to talk a little bit about the racist culture that's going on in Fresno Unified. And one of the things that we've seen recently is the blackface incident at Bullard High School. And I personally think that this is a symptom of the racist culture in Fresno Unified, and not just, I'm trying to think of that $10 word for something that happens every once in a blue moon, but really it's going on every day. And so this is something that needs to be talked about, because for many of us, we're sending our kids to Fresno Unified Schools on a daily basis. And I've got two great nephews and two great nieces that go to Fresno Unified Schools, and now I'm wondering, well, what's happening to these little kids when they go to school? Are they safe? Are they suffering slings and arrows of racism? Are they going through microaggressions every single day? So I'd like to have, you know, those of you in the listening audience weigh in. If you have something else you want to talk about, this is just my thing right now. This is open mic night, and we can talk about anything and everything that has to do with politics. So Sister Maria, Reverend Harris, if you'd like to weigh in. Either one of you, it's okay.
I think our kids first are told to be quiet. To assimilate.
Wow.
When you don't want to change how you teach, what you teach, to include the people, the historic line of people who created wealth in America.
Wow.
And history in America, and convenience in America.
Convenience, yes.
You know,
that is
when that's
else.
Not being taught, then you basically stifling their growth. You stifling their ability, you know, their potential.
Well,
I won't say ability, because
okay, so,
the ability is there, but the potential.
Right. the potential. Well, this brings me to my next question then, Sister Maria, and I have it all written out. My question is, do we just accept racism as a quote-unquote fact of life and continue to send our children to Fresno Unified Schools? And if so, I mean, and if we don't want to do that, what are our alternatives? Do we are we going with charter schools? Are we doing homeschooling? I mean, do we as a people have to accept racism as a fact of life when it comes to a school district?
I think the deeper the seed of racism that's going on in that school, like a school like Bullard, you know, where we hear story after story, decade after decade, and not to say that Bullard is isolated on racism, but they definitely seem to have this, like, racist ghost that presides over that school, you know, and it just possesses people there, I guess, you know.
Yes.
know, I'm making a little light, but when you have a deep-seated racism that decade after decade, year after year, it's these experiences, then, and they're saying, well, you know, it's because we don't want you there. Well, okay, you don't want us there, then you don't get the best, you don't get our best athlete, you know, or some of the best athletes.
Right.
You
and
don't get
diversity.
Our best students. You don't get our best minds, you know.
That's right.
And so we're going to pull all our minds, all our talent, all of that out of Bullard. And if every single black person took their child out of Bullard, then we would see what Bullard would be.
Now, you know,
and,
now this is huge, what you're saying. This is a huge, we're talking a movement here. We're talking a movement here. And I like the idea. Please elaborate. Please elaborate. Because you pretty much laid it out.
And we, you know, and we start, to be honest, we start creating our own black institutions of learning here in Fresno. They are not unheard of.
No, no.
You know, we have our wealthy black people who, you know, they really want to toot their own horns and pat themselves on the back for accomplishments.
Right.
And, I mean, the accomplishments are the accomplishments. That's great.
Right.
You know, but
and that's
what would
great.
Be greater is leaving a legacy where that could be built on.
Absolutely, Sister Maria. And, you know, it's interesting,
you know,
really,
too. Put your money where your mouth is. You're that
big. Put your money where your mouth is.
What about we put all our money together, start pulling our money together, and create our own educational institution that has a focus that is coming from a black cultural and historic
perspective,
starting in Africa perspective. And not that any other kid couldn't be included, but, you know, we have the lowest scores of this. We have the lowest scores of that. And there's many good-meaning, well-off people, black people who, you know, there are. It's still not enough to overcome all of these disparities.
Right. And part of that, absolutely, sister. And I think part of that is proportionality so far as population, but I think if we concentrated our efforts on our children, that our children will be much, much better off. And, you know, Reverend Harris says something that I don't know if it came from Brother Malcolm or not, but he's always saying, don't expect the oppressor to teach your children. Don't expect the oppressor to educate your children in a very, you know, positive way, because that's not going to happen. And, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why he founded Fresno Freedom School. For those of you listening who are not familiar with it, it is a supplemental education program that comes from an African/African-American mindset, a perspective. And we run a very nurturing, positive, supportive system, and the children love and thrive at Freedom School. And I can't wait till we get a brick and mortar. But I see what you're saying, Sister Maria, and I think that we can do that. And I think that the wealthy black folks who live in the Central Valley should be mindful that, you know, they need to be leaving a legacy. And, you know, when you were speaking, it made me think that a lot of these black folks came from other places. You know, they weren't born and raised in Fresno. They might not know the history of the poverty and the racism and the legacy of all that that's here, you know, they came here for business opportunities or whatever, and they're making money. You know, I'm not going to name any names, but they're making money, and I'm trying to figure out how they could, you know, put some of that money back in. So your idea of forming our own educational institutions is wonderful. I think we should do it, and we need to do it because our children are suffering. So,
yes.
You know, this leads me to...
Our world is suffering as a result of our children suffering.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
But
absolutely.
In specifically the Fresno Unified School District, yeah, I think we should have put our resources and our minds together and pull our students out of these schools. And let's empty, they want us on, let's empty Bullard out. Let's not have like a minority there, black or brown.
Mm-hmm. You know, Maria, I agree. I agree, and the reason that I agree is that, you know, they need us when it comes to securing monetary funds, but then they want to abuse us. So they can't have it both ways. You can't use us and abuse us at the same time and think that it's okay. We've already been through that. And we all know, who know our history, know that this is part of the long shadow of chattel slavery, Reconstruction, Jim Crow, segregation. We all know that. So let me just real quick give the call-in number for those of you who might be listening. We are talking about the culture of racism that appears to be, I don't know, you know, you might have a different perspective, but the racist culture that seems to be ingrained in Fresno Unified School District. And the call-in number is 563-999-3490. Once again, that's 563-999-3490. And I have to say, for those of you listening, I was struck last week by the story that was shared by Brother Ernest, who attended Bullard and, you know, shared about a racist incident that happened on campus in 1979, y'all, and this brother remembers it like it was yesterday. So this brings me to my third question, because I thought about this quite a bit prepping for the show. Okay, so my next question, and really my final question, is do we need to counsel our children about race way before they learn to drive? Because you know, everybody who's listening, how we always tell our children, okay, well, if you get pulled over, blah, 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 you know. I just want to share something that happened to my youngest nephew. This was when he was still in high school. He was going to high school. He was at the bus stop a block from his house. He's at the bus stop. And he comes back to the house. My sister's like, what are you coming back to the house for? He said, the police just threw me to the ground and roughed me up. And my sister's like, well, what happened? And he said, nothing. I was standing at the bus stop. They said I looked like somebody that looked like somebody. And the next thing I know, these two cops roughed me up and threw me on the ground. And now my clothes are all dirty. I got to change clothes so I can go to school. So
wow. Do
we, yeah, yes. Now, this is like 20 years ago that this happened to my nephew a block from his house for no good reason. And, of course, he's young. He's a teenager. He didn't get badge numbers or the name or anything like that. So he's at a bus stop. He's not behind the wheel. So what are our kids being exposed to when they leave our house, they leave our apartment,
and
they leave our presence?
They can't even walk across the street.
Can't even walk across. Thank you, Maria. I thought about Keyshawn. I thought about him. I thought about my nephew Chris. I'm thinking about all these children who are being asked to deal with something that they did not create. They are young people. They're not adults. That they have to go out and deal with this. So if any of y'all who are listening have some solutions to this problem about what we need to do about Fresno Unified, please call in at 563-999-3490, because some of us are going to keep talking about this, and we're not going to shut up about it.
Yeah, because racism in Fresno Unified School District is alive and well, And that's why they're not going to be able to stop talking about it.
That's right. If they wanted to, if they want us to stop talking about it, then they need to change their policy and change the way they do business and dealing with our children. And this is one of the reasons why one of the panels on our upcoming Progressive Black Summit that's happening at the end of October talks about not just, you know, education in the age of Trump, but it also, we're also going to be talking about disrupting that school-to-prison pipeline, because, Sister Maria, you probably know more about this than I do, not from personal experience, but because you have the educational wherewithal that I don't have with the stats about children who get facing expulsion and suspension. A lot of times they don't go back to school. You know, a lot of times they just give up. So, you know, I don't know how that works, but could you talk a little bit about the students that you work with at Youthville?
Well, all of the students I work with at Fell Through the Cracks, they're anywhere between the age of 18 and 29 years old and have not earned their high school diploma. And I asked the students, because I really care about them and I want them to succeed. So I asked the students, you know, hey, you know, what happened? You know, because I have access to transcripts, you know. And I'll say, hey, what happened? I seen you were doing really well here. And then here, you know, this is where some things start happening. I got locked up.
Right.
Locked up for just some of them minimal. Some of it just, you know, as a result of poverty and survival.
Right.
You know,
right. Right.
Taking the gang becoming their families. So, and I said, well, you know, what would a major school experience better? That's why I asked every student, what would a major school experience better?
Excellent question.
You know, or what would have helped you earn your high school diploma in the time that the district said you should earn it, or the education system said you should earn it? And almost all of them said more supportive teachers. My teacher told me I wasn't going to be nothing. My teacher told me I wasn't going to amount to anything, that I would never graduate, to get ready to take a job at McDonald's.
That is not what educators are paid to do. They are supposed to be there for the students and to deal with the students as they find them, not tell them that their future is bleak. Oh, my God, Maria. Oh, my God.
So those are the number one responses, the school environment.
Listen,
and I'll ask them what they like about this school. And I'll say, well, what do you like about Youthville Charter School? Well, I like that. I like the teachers. They're patient. They work with us, you know, they encourage us.
Wow, encouragement.
Those are the kind of teachers we need. Teachers have the effect of a teacher on a child's life. This is why the teaching profession is so vital, and teachers and their behavior and their beliefs are so vital. One teacher is more effective on a child than a bad home. A bad community environment, poverty, all these things combined is not together. One teacher can be more effective in that student overcoming all
something.
Of those things combined.
Isn't
that is the power
I had no
of
idea.
An educator.
Wow.
And so, who much is given? Because that's a lot of power. Much is required. So us requiring and demanding that we have an excellent education system that values Black students of color.
Amen. Tell us, sister,
I say everybody should be in on.
Everybody. Everybody should be in on it, not just Black parents and the Black community, but the brown community, the Asian community, and the white community, because we're all going to have to live together. And we all need to understand, those of us who are old heads like myself need to understand that these are the people, these are the folks, the young people today at Maria School and Fresno Unified School District right now, they're going to be running this world. In the next 10, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, they're going to be in charge. And we want them equipped with the best education that we can give them. free of racism, free of any kind of bias about their sexuality. We want them to be whole, happy, wonderful people, men and women. And it's our job to provide that for them as a community. And so, Maria, I am so glad you shared that, because when I look back on my own educational career from K through 12, I can pick out the teachers that I had who were good teachers, you know, and they did make a difference. They did mm-hmm. make a difference. So those of you in the listening audience, if you want to call in at 563-999-3490, we're having an open mic night, but right now we're talking about something that is very crucial to what's going on in Fresno, California. And for those of you who don't know, you can go to Google or Yahoo and key in Blackface and Bullard High School, and you will get the full story about how we are talking about racism with Fresno Unified School District. So much so that we have dual issues. It's not just the racism, but we also have a recall movement that's going on to recall Fresno Unified Trustee Terry Slattic because of the behavior that he has done on the campus at Bullard. You know, he is the trustee for that district. He was voted in, and he has performed horribly at his job. I think that, I don't know what he thinks he's supposed to do, but we know that his job is to make policy, not to enforce any kind of rules or things like that on campus. And he has gone in like a bull in a china shop, you know, intimidating cheerleaders, offending a Black Army recruiter. That was back in January. And physically accosting a student who, you know, he spoke to, and I guess the student had a response, and he grabbed the student's backpack. That is assault. So Fresno Unified has spent like $100,000 trying, you know, on this guy's legal fees. So this is why we're talking about it. It's open mic night, but we are talking about changing the culture of racism in Fresno Unified. So did I hear a deep voice there, Reverend Harris? Is that you?
Yes, hello.
All right, hello, good evening, happy Thursday. Would you like to weigh in about changing the culture of racism in Fresno Unified?
Well, you know, we're dealing with a big Goliath right now here in Fresno. And I think, not that I think, I know over the past 50 years how we, as our elders have fought in the 60s, people like Floyd White, Les Kimber,
George
Finley, Keith Kelly, father, Mr. Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying to build power in the Black community here in Fresno. And I must say, during one time, that was the case. That's not the case now. Over the course of the 70s, we had a lot of Black administrators here, for as principals, people like Dolphus Trotter, folks of his caliber, Verdell Newsom, right, people of his caliber. Those
John Sharpshire.
That was in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
A shift happened in Fresno. Crack cocaine hit. Ronald Reagan flooded communities with crack cocaine across the country. Our political people, like the Black Panther Party, all of them was executed by white people. The white power structure, J. Edgar Hoover, and all those.
Mm-hmm. COINTELPRO, that's right. You're right.
So, you know, we really have to rewind, stop and rewind the tape and go back and see where the shift happened. And those folks was in the education system here in Fresno.
Right.
Give me 1 second.
Sure. While I give Rev that second, you know, all the names that he mentioned are names that many of us who went to school in Southwest Fresno, Edison and Irwin and, you know, places like that, Carver, King, we're familiar with those names. And I'm just trying to figure out why we don't have an infrastructure for that.
And even the gentleman, Gaston, that day, what was his name? Bud Boston.
Rutherford Gaston Senior. I think it was Senior.
Yeah. Bud Gaston. Yeah. I think he was a minister too. I think. But you know, we had people, you know, like Second Baptist Church at one time on Jensen and Martin King Fig. You know, was a church that was middle class church, but it was a church of educators, like Dr. Curry and different people. And so I'm going to say that Fresno at one point in time, you know, Mr. Ed St. James, you know, I can just go down the list of Deacon Foster. I can go down the list, Miser Keels. All these black men, their handprint is all over West Fresno. But something happened where the power structure came in and overtook when those men got into the elderly age. There wasn't a generation coming behind them to keep things moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so since whatever the reason was, we didn't have that next generation ready to grab the baton. The baton was dropped, which now allow other ethnic and other people and the white power structure to take advantage of the community.
Yeah.
And not to talk about historically how the white man had made it, you know, if you want to hide something from a Negro, put it in a book, right? It was illegal in America at one time for black people to pick up a book and read. You would get whipped.
Right.
You would get lynched.
Yep.
You would get murdered. Right?
Knowledge is power.
So
right.
So the laws that are even in that's on the books today, from my perspective, are slave laws. They're slave laws because all those laws was created for the benefit of white men. Now let's move forward to Fresno Unified, which I'm talking about tonight. I've been listening quietly. Now George Finley told us the other night that Bullitt was its own community with its own school, and it got grandfathered into Fresno Unified.
Yes, he did.
Well, now then that's when they started busing our children from West Fresno out to Bullitt. In 1979, that's when Ernest was there, and he said his friend got whipped really, really bad by a white boy. If you go on Facebook right now, go to my page and read the different posts that people are talking about, not just Bullitt, but different schools right now for the Unified. You will see that black children are catching hell. They're literally, the parents are catching hell. The children are catching hell. And there's, I said, well, where are the gatekeepers at?
Right.
Where are the NAACPs?
Right. Somebody to call foul.
Where are the black political council? Where are all these groups that comes out when election time come, but yet when election time go, you don't see them until the next 4 years. I mean, I haven't seen not one black organization talk about the black face and this white board member, Slattic, who has assaulted children. But yet you have people who sit on boards here in Fresno talk about they care about, they're talking about black people now. They're talking about black people who hasn't said a damn thing about nothing that has happened to black children. But you sit on a board and don't say a damn thing. But yet
you walk around
with the oppressor skinning and grinning, eating chicken and watermelon with them as if you're somebody.
Come
you
on.
You're nobody when you can't stand up for children.
Wow.
A child is vulnerable.
We're supposed to block for them.
Into a cesspool.
Wow.
Fresno education is turned into a cesspool now.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally
a cesspool.
Okay? Yes. Because we don't have the men and women that's ready to put their political job on the line to stand up for black children. But yet,
Lord have mercy.
MLK birthday roll around every year in January, you'll see all of them out in the streets holding this damn sign talking about, I have a dream.
Massacred
in Fresno Unified, getting expelled, getting suspended, getting insulted, but none of them people, not one of them people you see stand for our children in Fresno. Now,
you know,
I'm not saying anything that I won't say to their face.
Right. Well, that's what the direct action was last week at the first Buller Buchanan game. And if somebody, because I don't want to get all emotional, but that was a very powerful event. Could you talk about that for just a minute, Reverend Harris, because you were. It was a powerful event. It really was. And for our listening audience, you know, this is textbook organizing, what you're about to hear right now. Reverend Harris.
Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
See, what's happening is there's called pimping. That's what's happening now. And I'm just going to keep it plain. I'm not trying to be sick, but I'm telling you it's called pimping. We just had a young black male on Facebook here in Fresno just got the hell beat out of him by Fresno PD. Where was the black organizations to stand up and say, you know what, this is wrong?
Right.
Because
black people in political office
is more concerned about being cool with the enemy than standing up for justice for our people.
Say that again.
Wow. Say it again.
Say it again.
Say it again.
Our black elected officials here in Fresno wants to be cool with the enemy. But do not want to stand up for justice for our black people here.
Lord, have mercy.
See, that's the problem. And until we call, see, you can't expect folk from Atlanta, Georgia to come here and call it out. You can't expect people from Oakland, California to come to Fresno and call it. The people in Fresno has to call it out.
Yeah.
Hey. So Reverend Harris, when you talk about So when you talk about the word pimping, and I'm just going to riff on this for a minute. For those black folks who have come from somewhere else, you know, I don't know where, somewhere else out of Fresno, to Fresno for business purposes to make money, And they are making that money, and I'm happy for them. I ain't hating on them for making money. That is, hey, this is America. But when you have injustices happen, these same people who are making money are silent, just like the elected officials.
Well, here's the problem. The power structure, let's just talk about Fresno Unified. Fresno Unified is, I believe, the thirdest largest school district in California.
Fourth largest
school district. In 1980, when our elders, Newsom and all of them, got up in age and retired, Fresno Unified did not replace black with black. They replaced black with Hispanic, or they replaced black with white. But they didn't see the importance of replacing black with black. Now, when I say black and black, I'm talking about department heads.
Right.
I'm talking about people in leadership that makes decisions. I'm talking about how come we don't have a black male principal in the fourth largest school district in California? See, someone is perpetrating a fraud. Let me tell you why we don't have a black male as a principal.
Mm.
But let me tell you why we have Hispanics as principals and moms as principals and white as principals.
Wow.
When our little black boys see a strong man in a suit, clean cut, he's going to say there's something different about that brother there. Because I'm used to seeing the brother in the hood with his pants sagging, rolling dice on the ground, gold teeth all in his mouth, spinners on his car, a pocket full of money. So Fresno Unified has intentionally not put black men in leadership because they don't want boys to mimic black leadership to become strong.
Right.
So
that's why
you have the police department, Dyer, and all these other people saying, oh, we have to go out and clean up the neighborhood. Because our young African-American boys going to a white European school system that is not even created for even our young ladies.
Come on.
It's not created for them.
Nope.
So, no, we're not going to put strong males there. Why? Because the black man understands that young man and what he's going through at home, but we're going to put a Hispanic there. We're going to put a mom there. Or better yet, we'll put a woman there as a principal. But see, that's not the same.
That's not the same.
So the black
and so the
man
message
in Fresno is a dangerous species here. And that's why we're having so much trouble, because we don't have real black leadership here.
And that's why that direct action at that game was so important, because the people who attended the game and the silent protests out front with the signs were asked to wear black in solidarity with the black mothers and the black cheerleaders to show their support. And there were loads of teenagers wearing black shirts in solidarity. And many of us who were protesting outside saw those children, spoke to them. Some of us even spoke to some of the adults. And so, callers, if you want in on this conversation, please call 563-999-3490.
Let's look at Bullard High School right now.
Go ahead.
The Bullard Knights, that's what they call them. Has Bullard ever had a black principal?
I don't remember Mr. McDonald, and he was a vice principal.
That's about close.
That's a good question.
That's close as you're going to get. And what year was that?
Back in late 80s.
See? So my point is that Bullard High School has no intentions of empowering our black children. It never had, and it never will. Now, what Bullard High School wants is the money off the children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, ADA.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep. And this is what I was saying, Rev. They want it both ways. They want to be able to count our children to get their money, but they want to abuse our children while they're there on campus. They cannot have it both ways.
Listen.
No.
Listen, you got Keisha Thomas in office, right, now for the Edison District. Before her, you had who?
Cal Johnson.
What was his name?
Cal Johnson.
Okay. Now, who was before Cal Johnson? Can we remember?
Was
it
Mary
Curry? I think it was Lisa Medina.
For Edison District? Okay.
Yeah. I think it was Lisa Medina. And I think I'm trying to think that maybe it was Robert Riddlespricker before her. All right, now, just those names right there, if you was to count up all the days, school days, between Riddlespricker, Lisa Medina, Cal Johnson, and now we got Keisha Thomas, nobody has came to the table and said, "Why? How come we don't have a black male principal in our district?"
Mm. Wow.
But yet we got all other ethnics in our district.
Mm-hmm.
See, we're getting played. So what's going on at Bullard right now is normal.
Right.
You just have a group of people now that's not scared to go up against the district. You just have a group of people that's not scared to go up against the district now.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right. Yes.
So until black people understand that they have to have an independent mind, an independent institution away from the Western white European school system, listen, those people insulted our ancestors.
Right. You're absolutely right, Rev. And the thing is that I don't understand why there isn't more of a hue and cry, not just from so-called black organizations, but just from black people. Black people, regular black people who
because
have children in this district or don't.
Because we want to integrate. We want
some
to integrate.
Some of us do.
Yeah, some of us want to integrate with white folks so that we can feel included.
But they don't want us. They have made that clear. I know.
We were more powerful as a people when we were segregated. Since we've integrated, we have become weaker now as a people.
Right, right. They're taking advantage of that.
Just look at it. I was telling Maria this morning, I said, look, with all the millionaires in Fresno, I mean, the world,
mm-hmm.
how come we're not smart enough to start our own basketball league? And I know this is off topic, but I'm going to bring it back.
No, go ahead.
Start our own basketball league? How come we don't start our own baseball league like we used to have? Football team. You see what I'm saying? Since we're going to entertain, how about we entertain our own people? Okay.
Right.
How about we be the owners of our own team? Right?
Right.
But see, the white man didn't set this up like this. He set it up where we're the ones that's being a high-paid slave to run the ball up and down the field.
That's right. And that's why so many black players who don't make those leagues wind up in Europe, wind up in Canada, wind up somewhere else playing.
But I heard Maria or someone talk about we need black institutions. Well, we had a black institution here in Fresno. It was called a New Millennium. But do you know what happened to that?
Yes, indeed, I do.
Know what happened to that?
Mm-hmm.
They were mismanaging funds.
Yep.
You had Cal Johnson, who was a board member, working at the school and voting on it at the same time.
But then we
lose credibility as a people, right?
Right.
And then Fresno Unified shut the whole school down. Right here in the
yes,
black
they
community.
Did.
So who really loses behind this? The children.
Right. The children. And see, and Reverend Harris, let me just interject this. You brought up New Millennium. The person who ran that, Lois Harris, probably no relation. She was my sixth grade teacher at Carver.
Okay.
Yeah, she was my sixth grade teacher, and she was something else even then. But what I wanted to say is that for all the people who are listening, you have to understand, just because we have a black institution doesn't mean that it's less than anything. We are talking about raising our expectation level so our children will meet it. We are talking about a high watermark, people, a high watermark. That means we expect the best from our children and know that they can deliver that. We would expect the best from our teachers and our counselors and our coaches. You know, we have very, very good schools when we had segregated schools, but they don't want to tell you that in the history books. They want to make it like, oh, they were less than, because what? They gave them raggedy books. They gave them raggedy buildings. But what we did have is pride. We had resilience. We had faith in our ability. We had unity. And that is why we are all still here, because if we were a weak people, wouldn't be no black people, African Americans, in this country right now. We'd all be died off. But we didn't. We're still here.
If I could add to those statements you asked me earlier about black people in leadership in the school district. You know, It's hard for a black person that's in a department, and I get it. It's hard for them to stand up for the masses of black children, because they're saying, I know this is wrong, but if I say something, I might lose my job.
Right.
I know this is wrong. I know I need to say something, but I'm the only black here. You know, I don't want to be in the soup line either. So we turn a blind eye to something that is wrong.
Tell it now.
That's why the district goes and hire people from other states and don't hire people here, because the people here understand the politics of what the hell is
going
on.
They know it.
People in another state, from Florida, New York, Philadelphia, Oregon,
Chicago,
Washington, they pull them here and move them here. So they're obligated to those who have hired them. So even if they see something wrong in the department, they're not going to really say anything, because they have their ticket going back home.
Right.
But see, what we have to do, now let me bring it home. What we have to do as a community is bring those black people in a room and say, brother, sister, we understand the position you're in right now. But at the end of the day, this is about our babies. This ain't about you.
That's right. The greater good.
Now you can get your ticket back home with the oppressor, or we can give you a ticket back home right now. Which one you want to do? Now, what's on your side is the black community.
Yes.
But you got to work. You got to work with us. You got to talk to us. Yeah. We don't know what's going on in here. So if someone wants to threaten your job, then you need to let us know.
That's right.
Because
how else can we support you?
Here.
That's right.
Exactly.
You're
this
absolutely right.
This is for our community, and this is what we want. See, but we don't call these people into account.
No, and that's something that needs to change. But
with
Mr. Finley, you're right. Come on. That's right. That's right.
This lady named Wendy. Is that her name, Wendy?
Wendy McCullough. Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, what needs to happen is we need to call a community meeting, preferably through the West Virginia Democratic Club, and say, hey, we want to bring you out. Okay?
Yeah.
We want to talk to you. We want to know what you're doing. We want to work with
right.
you. I mean, you got to give a person the benefit of the doubt. Okay?
Absolutely.
You have to. You just have to. All right? And you build a relationship with that person. But this sister has been in for, what, 2 or 3 years already?
I think it's 2 years now.
So, and I don't even know one community meeting I ever seen her in. Same way with Keisha Thomas. We have to come in here, sister. We don't bite.
Well,
we're your
yes.
brothers and sisters.
Absolutely, now, Reverend Harris, and when Mr. Finley talked about that human relations commission that was part of Fresno Unified, that needs to be reinstated. But it has to have teeth. You know, we need to start having community members who are part of that vetting position when they talk about hiring people that are going to be dealing with our babies. We need to. We should have had Black parents vetting Sister Wendy when she was getting hired, so we could ask the pertinent questions about what are her plans, what's she going to do, and how is she going to do it. That's just my opinion.
I'm just saying that Black elected officials has to have a report card, just like we do our children with report cards every 4 months. You have a report card, okay? And we need the pattern is there. The blueprint is there, okay?
Yes,
and,
it is.
I mean, just follow the school system of report cards, okay? And, hey, we're going to grade you every 3 or 4 months. Semester here, we're going to grade you, okay? I mean,
that sounds like an excellent project.
We as a community, we have not been doing our job. Let me just put it out there. Mm. We have not been doing our job, due diligence, to hold these people accountable. Okay?
Mm. Right.
And we got to do
right.
a better
well,
job at it.
We have to do a better job and not let the legacy that has been built in Southwest Fresno just slip away. Because too many people have given too many hours to secure certain things for us that now we do not have. But you know what? I have great hope and great faith, Reverend Harris, that we can bring it back together. Luckily, we have people like Sister Maria, who is working with young people and has been for half her life. She knows West Fresno and what goes on there like the back of her hand. We have you, who has been doing this for over 30 some odd years, and we have myself and other people like me who grew up in Southwest Fresno and who have been agitating for change for a long time. You know, we got people like Brunette Harris and Diane Smith. So we have to bring these people together and decide that we are going to say no more. And it's happening, Reverend Harris. The fact that we are talking about this and we have been talking about it, the fact that we have that direct action, the fact that the Black mothers at Bullard are continuing being on the move and standing together shoulder to shoulder for their daughters. So we have a great, great wellspring of support right now, and we're going to move on that. So if either one of you have some closing remarks for us, that'd be wonderful.
You know, the beautiful thing that happened at the protest at the Buchanan was to see Black people in a community, Clovis, that we know the Ku Klux Klan is there, to see all the beautiful shades of Black people and Black men and women and children, all dressed in Black. In my 36 years of organizing in Fresno, that was the first time I ever seen Black people come together. And I know that we had
beautiful
other races there, Hispanic and white, but I'm specifically talking about, and we appreciate the other ones there, but I'm specifically talking about the Black people. It showed Clovis community that Black people can come together, even though Fresno Unified, the principal, Alvarado, the school district, and all of them tried to paint us as monsters that we were going to come in and terrorize and riot and all this. It showed the Clovis community that Black people, no matter what you see on TV, can come civilized and practice the Constitution to protest for what's right. And I'm telling you, that was the first time in 36 years It was beautiful to see the women and men walk in with black shirts. It was beautiful to see the students had on black shirts.
Yes.
It was beautiful.
Yes.
And all the mothers need to be credited. You need to be credited. Everybody needs to be credited for that protest right there.
Yeah, Sister Maria. People worked hard.
Ever happen again in Fresno?
We set a precedent, so it could happen again.
I can at least say I've seen it one time in my lifetime here.
Sister Maria, you know that was awesome. Sister Maria, do you have any closing words for us? We got just a few more minutes left.
We really are much stronger together. I know we have our criticisms and so forth, but I think we take those criticisms, really process those, and come up with a plan to make some change in Fresno that's lasting, that give our kids a chance. We just want to be at the same start line. We just want to be at the same start line. We just want the same to get that same push forward that kids are considered privileged get.
Right.
You know, so
that's
my thing. Like, let's just keep moving forward. This is not the season for us to not fight. This is not that season. This is not the season for that kind of peace. I'm sorry, it's not. This is the season
for
us to stand, and we take the season and we move with it while it's there.
Absolutely, Sister Maria. And I want to thank both you for all of your dedication and hard work working with young people. And Reverend Harris, I want to thank you for all that you do and every way that you do it, because you are the spine and the backbone for many of us who grew up in Southwest Fresno. And, you know, I'm going to say a shout out to myself for just being able to be at that protest and be part of it. It was good for my heart and my soul. So I want to say thank you to all of you who have.
No,
go ahead. I hope so too. I hope so too, and I hope that we have more young people.
I think Ingram is on the line too.
Oh, Sister Ingram.
Yes, I'm just listening. I was, seeing everybody in the church, it just made me feel so blessed, and I felt unity, and I just felt the love and the nurturing. It just brought all that love back from my ancestors, my grandma, you know what they stood for. And so for us to go out there and represent that, you know, we've been raised right. We've been taught right.
Yes.
And we're trying to
give
that, and we're going to
give
that.
Say that. Say that. Say that. Thank you, sister.
I walked in there by myself, but I didn't walk by myself. I walked in the building, but the unity and the support was there. You know, I wanted to go bad to be out there with you.
Yes.
But my heart was there, and I was just, you know, wondering how everything was going. And I'm so happy, and I'm just so glad that.
That's wonderful.
You guys have been.
That is wonderful. That's wonderful, Sister Ingram. Thank you for sharing that. And for those of you who participated in that direct action, don't sit down for too long, because according to Reverend Harris, we're going to be doing it again. For all of you young people who were touched by what you saw and what you felt, just understand that, you know, the revolution might be televised, but it'll be all the better if you're there live and in person. All right, y'all, we're going to thank everybody who participated in our show tonight. And as I always do on my sign-off, I want y'all to stay black till we get back. Have a good night, y'all, and I'm out.